Welcome to Zichud Asimani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that one may not soak chiltis in warm water, but one may put it in vinegar. Rashi explains that people would soak the chiltis in warm water to make a therapeutic drink, and they would put in vinegar to be used as a condiment. The Gemara asks what the law would be if someone did soak the chiltis in warm water on Shabbos. Rav Adin Narshaa said before Rav Yosef that if one soaked the chiltis b'shogeg, then he's chai v'chattis. Abai said to Rav Ada that soaking chiltis is comparable to soaking raw meat in water, where one is certainly not liable. So rather, Abai said that it's rabbinically prohibited because of uvda d'chol, that one should not act in a manner that he acts during the week. Point number two, Rav Acha bar Yosef asked Rav Safra whether one's permitted to rub a freshly laundered linen shirt on Shabbos. Do we say that he intends merely to soften the shirt, in which case it's permitted, or perhaps he intends to make the shirt brighter, and therefore it's prohibited? And Rashi explains that freshly laundered linen shirts are stiff, and rubbing softens the shirt, and also has the effect of making it brighter. And brightening it is considered a form of libun, of laundering. Rav Safra answered that one's intent in rubbing the shirt is to soften it, and therefore it's permitted. Rav Acha bar Yosef had previously asked Rav Huna the same question about a linen kerchief, and was told that it was prohibited because people rub them to make them brighter. However, afterwards, he still asked Rav Safra if it's permitted to rub a freshly laundered shirt, because it's not similar to rubbing a linen kerchief. People care more about the brightness of a linen kerchief because it's more visible as a head covering. And therefore, it could be that although rubbing a kerchief is forbidden, rubbing a shirt would be permitted. And point number three, Rav Chisda gave 13 pieces of advice to Talmidei Chachamim and 8 pieces of advice for his own daughters regarding proper behavior with their husbands. He advised that a poor Talmidei Chachamim who does not have much bread should save his bread until he has enough for a satisfying meal instead of dividing his bread into many small, unsatisfying meals. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states that one may not soak chiltis in warm water, but one may put it in vinegar. Rashi explains that people would soak the chiltis in warm water to make a therapeutic drink, and they put in vinegar to be used as a condiment. The Gemara asks what the law would be if someone did soak the chiltis in warm water on Shabbos. Rav Adin Narshaa said before of Yosef that if one soaked the chiltis b'shogeg, then he's chai v'chattis. Abai said to Rav Ada that soaking chiltis is comparable to soaking raw meat in water, where one is certainly not liable. Rather, Abai said that it's rabbinically prohibited because of uvda d'chol, that one should not act in a manner that he acts during the week. Point number two, Rav Acha bar Yosef asked Rav Safra whether one is permitted to rub a freshly laundered linen shirt on Shabbos. Do we say that he intends merely to soften the shirt, in which case it's permitted, or perhaps he intends to make the shirt brighter, and therefore it's prohibited? And Rashi explains that freshly laundered linen shirts are stiff, and rubbing softens the shirt and also has the effect of making it brighter. And brightening is considered a form of libun, of laundering. Rav Safra answered that one's intent is rubbing a shirt to soften, and therefore it's permitted. Rav Acha bar Yosef had previously asked Rav Huna the same question about a linen kerchief, and was told that it was prohibited because people rub them to make them brighter. However, afterwards, he still asked Rav Safra if it's permitted to rub a freshly laundered shirt, because it's not similar to rubbing a linen kerchief. People care more about the brightness of a linen kerchief, because it's more visible as a head covering, and therefore it could be that although rubbing a kerchief is forbidden, rubbing a shirt would be permitted. And point number three, Rav Chisda gave 13 pieces of advice to Talmidei Chachamim and 8 pieces of advice to his own daughters regarding proper behavior with their husbands. He advised that a poor Talmidei Chachamim who does not have much bread should save his bread until he has enough for a satisfying meal instead of dividing his bread into many small, unsatisfying meals. All right, so now we go to our sim for Kuf Mem, and we had a lot of great suggestions. A very popular one was comb. We had comb, honeycomb, enormous comb. They were kumkum, communist, com, kamut, chemist, camouflage. Then some people went with the variation of stand up, like come. A couple of people mentioned standing ovations. But I'm going to go with the other very popular suggestion, which was a camera, a tourist with a camera. And I'm going to use David Samuels from Johannesburg's suggestion of a Chinese tourist with a camera for this simon. So thank you, David, for that suggestion. But camera is going to be our simon. Thank you, everybody, for your suggestion. So here goes. The Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis. Just as he was about to take a shot of the poor natives rubbing their stiff linen shirts in preparation to eat some bread they had saved. Once again, in slow motion. The Chinese tourist dropped his camera. Camera, that must mean Rondaf Kuf Mem. The Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis, which reminds the next Mishnah states that one may not soak chiltis in warm water, but may put it in vinegar. Rashi explains that people would soak the chiltis in warm water to make a therapeutic drink, and they would put it in vinegar to be used as a condiment. The Gemara asks, what is the law if someone did soak the chiltis in warm water on Shabbos? Rav Adin Narshaa said before Rav Yosef that if one soaked the chiltis b'shogeg, then he's chai v'chattis. Abai said to Rav Adin that soaking chiltis is comparable to soaking raw meat in water, where one is certainly not liable. Rather, Abai said it's rabbinically prohibited because of Uvda Dechol, that one should not act in a manner that he acts during the week. So the Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis, just as he was about to take a shot of the poor natives rubbing their stiff linen shirts, which reminds us Rav Acha bar Yosef asked Rav Safra whether one is permitted to rub a freshly laundered linen shirt on Shabbos. Do we say that he intends merely to soften the shirt, in which case it's permitted, or perhaps he intends to make the shirt brighter and therefore it's prohibited? Rashi explains that freshly laundered linen shirts are stiff, and rubbing softens the shirt and also has the effect of making it brighter. Rashi explains that freshly laundered linen shirts are stiff, and rubbing softens the shirt. It also has the effect of making it brighter, and brightening it is considered a form of libun, of laundering. Rav Safra answered that one's intent in rubbing the shirt is to soften it, and therefore it's permitted. Rav Acha bar Yosef had previously asked Rav Huna the same question about a linen kerchief, and was told that it was prohibited because people rub them to make them brighter. However, afterwards he asked Rav Safra if it's permitted to rub a freshly laundered shirt, because it's not similar to rubbing a linen kerchief. People care more about the brightness of a linen kerchief, because it's more visible as a head covering, and therefore it could be that although rubbing a kerchief is forbidden, rubbing a shirt would be permitted. So the Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis, just as he was about to take a shot of the poor natives rubbing their stiff linen shirts in preparation to eat some bread they had saved. Which reminds us, Rav Chisda gave 13 pieces of advice to Talmid Chachamim and 8 pieces of advice to his own daughters regarding proper behavior with their husbands. He advised that a poor Talmid Chacham who does not have much bread should save his bread until he has enough for a satisfying meal, instead of dividing his bread into many small, unsatisfying meals. So once again, the Chinese tourist dropped his camera into a bowl of soaking chiltis, just as he was about to take a shot of the poor natives rubbing their stiff linen shirts in preparation to eat some bread they had saved. Now it's time for a four blah ba chazara. Daf kuf lamed vav. So the symbol for kuf lamed vav is a clue. So here goes. The clue, that must mean we're on daf kuf lamed vav. The clue in the case of the missing 8-day-old infant turned up when the moyo who claimed he was just cutting meat, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa on daf kuf lamed hey amed beis, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that any human newborn that survives for 30 days is not suspected of being a nefa, a non-viable child. As the Pasuk states regarding the mitzvah of redeeming a bechor, those that are to be redeemed, you shall redeem from the age of a month. The Gemara questions this ruling, since this implies that we doubt the viability of a child less than 30 days old, and if so, we should be prohibited from performing a meal on Shabbos for fear that the newborn might be a nefa, which does not have a mitzvah of milah. Rav Avada bar Ava answered that Shabbos is not violated no matter what the status we give the child. Im chayhu shapra kamal. If he is a viable child, then it was proper to have the meal on Shabbos. Im lav mechatuk babasuhu. And if not, one is merely cutting meat when he circumcises it, which does not violate Shabbos. So the clue in the case of the missing 8-day-old infant turned up when the moyo claimed he was just cutting meat turned out to be a kohen betrothed to the mother, which reminds us. If an infant who was the sole surviving child of his dead father died within 30 days of his birth, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say that we are concerned that the newborn was a nephil, and therefore it's a possibility that his wife had no children from the deceased husband, and she cannot get married until she does Yibum or Chalitza. So the Gemara asks, what if this baby's mother went ahead and became a kudeshes, betrothed to a man, even though she was not allowed to, as the baby might have been a nephil? Ravina said in the name of Rava, if she was mekudeshes to Yisrael, who is permitted to marry a woman who has undergone chalitza, then we tell her now to do chalitza. However, if she was mekudeshes to a kohen, whom the rabban is not permitted to marry a chalitza, we do not make her undergo chalitza because then she would become forbidden to her husband. Rashi explains that in this case of the kohen, we rely on the opinion of the rabban who disagree with Rabban Shimon Gamliel and do not question the viability of a newborn less than 30 days old. Rav Shuvi in the name of Rava said that in both cases the woman must undergo chalitza, since the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So the clue in the case of the missing 8-day-old infant turned up when the moyo claimed he was just cutting meat turned out to be a kohen betrothed to the mother and wasn't a definite male. Which reminds us, a malchokas is introduced in the Mishnah daf kuf lamed dalet amud beis whether one performs mila for an androgynous on Shabbos. The Rabban forbidden Rabbi Yehuda permits it because he holds that an androgynous is a male. Rav Shivzi said in the name of Chisda that Rabbi Yehuda does not consider an androgynous a definite male in all cases. For it was taught in a brisa in the Sifra, a collection of brises on Sefer Vayikra, that only a zachar vadai nekev vadais, a definite male and a definite female, bring an erech vow, not a tumtum or androgynous. And stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, an anonymous brisa in the Sifra reflects a view of Rabbi Yehuda. Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. So the symbol for Kuf Lamed Zayin is a closet. So here goes. The embarrassed father hid in the closet. Closet? That must mean run Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. The embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby. Which reminds us, the next mission in the Perek states that if one had two infants to circumcise, one who turns 8 days old after Shabbos, and the other turns 8 days old on Shabbos, and he forgot which one was which, and he circumcised the one due after Shabbos on Shabbos, he's chai for being machal Shabbos b'shogeg. Rashi explains that he was tabid of our mitzvah, v'lo as a mitzvah. He was occupied in doing a mitzvah, but didn't actually do a mitzvah. Instead, he wounded the baby on Shabbos, and therefore he's liable chatas for chovel, for wounding. If one infant turns 8 days old on Erev Shabbos, and one turned 8 days old on Shabbos, and he switched them, and did the one who turned 8 days old on Erev Shabbos on Shabbos, Rabbi Yezer says he's chai v'chatas, Rabbi Yeshua says he's pater. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Ezra, even though he did the mitzvah of mila, doing mila for an infant over 8 days old is not tocha Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua, however, holds that he was tabid var mitzvah, v'asa mitzvah. He was occupied in doing a mitzvah, and he did do the mitzvah of mila, and therefore he's exempt. So the embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby, whose bris would have been on the 12th day, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, that it's possible for a child to have meal performed on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th day, but not earlier or later. The meal is on the 9th if he was born Bein HaShemashos. It's on the 10th if he was born on Bein HaShemashos of Erev Shabbos. It's on the 11th if, in the previous case, the day after Shabbos is Yantav, and then on the 12th if the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah follow Shabbos. So the embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby, whose bris should have been on the 12th day, and no one could find him when it came time for the bracha. Which reminds us, the Brisa records the various brachas and tefillahs which were recited at bris. The Moel makes the bracha al hamila, on the circumcision. The Avia Ben makes the bracha l'achniso bevriso she'avram avinu. Those standing there respond, k'shem she'niknas of bris, ken yechanas l'torah chup maisim tovim, just as he has entered the bris, so may he enter the Torah Chuppah and the performance of good deeds. And then someone appointed makes the bracha, Asher Kiddush Yad Mibetan, who is sanctified, the beloved one from the womb. While she explains that this is referring to Yitzchak, who was sanctified in the womb for this mitzvah, since the year before his birth, Avram was told to circumcise his son. Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. So the symbol for Kuf Lamed Ches is maror stalks. So here goes. The man pouring crushed maror stalks, that must be more on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. The man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer, which reminds the opening mission, the 20th parak on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, introduced some halachos regarding pouring into a suspended strainer. Rabbi Yehuda said that one may pour into the strainer even on Shabbos and certainly on Yantav, while the Chachamim hold that one may not pour into the strainer on Shabbos, but may pour into it on Yantav. The Gemara seeks to clarify which of malacha one must warn someone with who's about to strain wine on Shabbos, according to the Chachamim who forbid it. Rabbi says it's more reasonable to say borer, for just as borer involves taking the food and leaving the undesired matter behind, so to hear, straining wine takes the food and leaves the undesired matter behind. Rabbi Zera says it's more reasonable to say meraket, sifting, for just as sifting results in the undesired matter remaining on top while the food falls below, so too straining wine results in the undesired dregs remaining on top of the strainer with the wine below. So the man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly, which reminds the Gemara notes a contradiction between Rav Sheshes, the son of Rav Idi, who states that a felt hat asiyana is permitted to be worn on Shabbos, and a brisa that states it's prohibited to wear it. The Gemara concludes that Rav Sheshet was dealing with a hat that is fitted tightly, whereas the brisa was referring to a hat that was loose. Since there's a concern that a loosely fit hat could fall off, the Rabbanim prohibited wearing it lest one comes to carry it, Dalet Amos, in Rosh Hashanah. So the man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly because he heard it's a segula to not forget the Torah in the future. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that when the Rabban entered Karen B'Yavin, they said, Asida Torah shetishtachach mi Yisrael, the Torah will eventually be forgotten from Yisrael. As it stated, Hine yamim baim nu Hashem elkim v'yishlachti ra'abars, behold, days are coming, declares Hashem, that I will send a hunger into the land, lo ra'ab l'lechem, lo tzamu l'maim kim l'shmo as divrei Hashem. Not a hunger for bread and not a thirst for water, but to hear the words of Hashem. It was taught in a different Brisa. The Hashem B'Yichai says, Heaven forbid the Torah will be forgotten from Israel, as it says, Ki lo tishachach mi pi zarot, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouth of the nation's offspring. He interprets a nevuah from Amos, which states, they shall wander to seek the word of Hashem, but shall not find it, to mean that they will not find halacha berurah b'mishnah berurah b'makom echad, clear halacha and clear teachings in one place. Rashi explains that halacha brur, clear halacha, means a consensus of the reasons behind various rulings. Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, so the symbol for Kuf Lamed Tes is a blood clot. So here goes. The cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. The cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace that Rabbi Yosef ben Elisha said, Imri Isa Dorish Tzaros Rabos Balzalav. If you see a generation upon which many troubles come upon it, Tze Ubdok B'dayani Yisrael, go and examine the deeds of the Jewish judges. Shekol Paranot Shebol Olam, for all misfortune that comes to the world, Lobai El Bishvil Dayani Yisrael, comes only on account of the Jewish judges. And the Brisa continues and says, Ve'en Kosh Baruch Hu Mashur Shechinaso Yisrael, Kosh Baruch Hu will not rest his divine presence on the Jewish people, as Sheyichu Shoftim Mishotim Ram Yisrael, until there will cease to be corrupt judges and officers amongst them. Ula said, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta El Betzdaka, Yerushalayim will not be redeemed except through charity, as it says in the Pasek, Tzion B'mishpat T'padeh V'shaveh B'tzdaka. Tzion shall be redeemed through justice and her attorneys through charity. So the cardiologist told the corrupt judge with the blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, which reminds Rabbi Malai said, V'schar V'racha V'smach B'yibo, in the merit of that which Hashem testified concerning Aaron, and he will see you and he will rejoice in his heart, Zach L'choshen Mishpat Al-Libo, Aaron merit to wear the choshen Mishpat, which was worn upon his heart. So the cardiologist told the corrupt judge with the blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, or else it would be a burial on the second day of Yontif. Which reminds us, the people of Bashkar sent 3 shilas to Levi, but by the time they arrived, Levi had passed away. Shmuel said to Rav Menashe, if you're sufficiently wise and know the answers, send them to them. In each case, he ruled stringently, Levisha ain't b'nei Torah, because they were not b'nei Torah. He was concerned that if they were given a lenient ruling, they would become even more lenient. The third question was, what's the law for burying a corpse in Yontif? He answered that neither Jews or non-Jews should be involved in the burial, neither on the first day or the second day of Yontif. He answered them in a stringent way, but truly the halacha is that on the first day of Yontif, the corpse may be buried by a non-Jew, and on the second day of Yontif, it may be buried even by a Jew. The reason why a Jew is permitted to bury a corpse on the second day is that since after the calendar was fixed, the second day was only at the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan allowed it for the needs of the mace. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do you learn that one is allowed to rub freshly laundered shirts to soften them? That's on daf Kuf Mem. Good. Number 2, which daf do you learn which malacha one is violating for straining wine on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 3, which daf do you learn that one can crush cumin for a bris on Yontif? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. Good. Number 4, which daf do you learn Malkokas regarding washing a baby before and after a bris? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. Good. Number 5, which daf do you learn what the din is regarding burial on Yontif? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Great. Number 6, which daf do you learn Rav Chissa's Eisa to Pur Tamnei Chachamim to save enough bread for a satisfying meal? That's on daf Kuf Mem. Good. Number 7, which daf do you learn that soaking chiltas in water on Shabbos is a problem of uvda the chol? That's on daf Kuf Mem. Good. Number 8, which daf do you learn because Aaron was happy he's Moshe Rabbeinu was zochid to wear the choshen mishpat al libo? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Great. Number 9, which daf do you learn one should delay a bris if the baby is reddish or yellow? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. Great. And number 10, which daf do you learn that a meal can be formed on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th day? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do you learn that Divrei Torah not Mekabel Tuma? That's on daf Chav Beis. Good. Number 2, which daf do we discuss what the Pasuk of the Zayin meaning is coming to teach? That's on daf Memov. Good. And finally, question number 3, which daf do we discuss the bracha of Brei Nefashos? That's on daf Memdalet. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions on Maseches Brachos. I'm Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.